Well, hey, church family. Sorry you got to see all that. That's usually what I do when there's a video going on, taking off lenses and raising things and moving cameras. Today is going to be kind of a standalone thing, so we don't have any fancy video or anything like that. But before we get to the sermon, I just want to I want us to spend a moment in prayer of thanks. Thanks to some people that have been helping our church over the past 3 years, and to pray for, since we are in a new year, a new season, to pray for the elders that are incoming. I'm looking over this way because I see John here, and John, you are one of the people that is stepping off. John Wolgemuth is stepping off our elder board, as is Yvonne Dahlke. They have both faithfully served for 3 years, and thank you. You were the first group that that was fully here at the same time I was, so thank you. Yvonne, to you watching at home, thank you as well. I'm grateful for you, grateful for John, and grateful for the leadership that you have showed over these last 3 years. With that, we also are going to be inviting new elders. We have already invited new elders onto our team. Rick Anderson, who I'm pointing back here, he is manning the sound booth this morning. Rick Anderson back here is joining our elder board. This is Kelly McClendon, who I'm looking at Carter here. We've got a lot of people from our elder board represented these days in the building, despite there not being many of us here. So to Rick, to Kelly, thank you for stepping onto the board in this season. And we trust that just like God has used John and Yvonne, God will use you as well. So let's take a minute. I invite you to pray. I think we did this during the business meeting, but I'm going to invite you to do this as well. If you want to extend your hands towards the nearest elder to you, for many of us, that may be pointing out here towards the church. For some of us, I know Yvonne and Kelly live reasonably close to each other, I want to say, towards the middle and south part of the city. Rick's hanging out with us at church today. And so if you wouldn't mind extending your hand in one of those directions, I'm going to invite us to pray. God Almighty, we are grateful. We are thankful for those who have served, who have taken up the call of leadership and who have faithfully served you. We're grateful for John and Yvonne. Thank you. Thank you for their years of service to this church. Thank you for their abilities that they have brought with them, their chance to help us through to get us to this point. We are grateful and thankful. Thank you for how you have crafted them to be. Thank you for them being willing to take up the challenge. God, as we pray for our new leadership joining the elder board in this season, for Rick, for Kelly, we ask and we pray that you would be with them. Empower them, enable them to listen to you, to listen to your spirit at work in their lives, to help them, help us plot our course as a church body. We are grateful for women and men who step up to the call that you have for them, Lord. Thank you for these people. Thank you for our other elders serving, Brian, Jake. Be with them, and as we step into a new year, be close to them. Be close to all of us. We ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen. Just so you know, our new elder board as of this week, Brian Hart, Jake Sawatsky, Kelly McClendon, and Rick Anderson. If you end up needing to communicate with one of them, you can give them a call, and I'm sure they'd be glad to connect with you there. But be praying for our elders as we step forward into 2021 and into whatever God has for us in the season of the life of our church. Well, as I was gearing up for this New Year's sermon, I had some conflicting emotions going on. In one sense, in most senses, 2020 kind of stunk. I am not sad to leave it behind. Isolation, pandemic, friends and family who passed away, who died. We went through and to some degree are still going through a highly politicized season, and doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on, that is never a particularly comfortable thing to go through a highly politicized season. And quite frankly, I don't want to reflect on 2020. I want to charge ahead into the new year, into 2021, into whatever is coming, to hope, to pray, to try and do things myself to make this year a different thing. And that is not bad. To want the new year to be different or better in some way, even if 2020 ended up being a decent year for you, even if 2020 was good, was fine, was positive even for you, it's okay to still want the new year to, as we change our calendars, it's okay to want this year to go well, to be looking at things to make things go well. Because we're in a season of newness. And in our culture, we love things that are new. I mean, there's this graphic, time for something new. Most people want to have new things, new cars, new technology. We want the latest iPhone, the latest computer, the latest scale. You heard me. Scale. I actually got a new digital scale for Christmas. This scale right here actually syncs to my phone and tells me a lot of things about me. Hurtful, nasty things. Things that I did not necessarily want to know. Nothing like the curse of knowledge to inspire you to go on a diet and exercise spree. But there is this constant desire for what's new. We want newness, but it's gotten to the point where as a society, there are actually a lot of places that have just stopped fixing things. There's a joke from a TV show I love. I may have shared this already or not. I can't remember. But a TV show that I watched where one of the characters talks about his decision-making process of over whether to fix something. It's right here. And he says, one time my refrigerator stopped working. I didn't know what to do. I just moved. He just moved on, didn't know what to do, didn't want to fix it, just moved on to something new. We want to look forward to new things. And that's fine and even good. I joked about it, but that scale is probably going to point out some things in my life that were a little out of balance. And even though I'm not going to enjoy it particularly very much, it will probably help point me to a healthier season. This week, a lot of pastors are going to preach about the newness of this year, how God is doing a new thing. See, I am doing a new thing. That's out of Isaiah 43. And that is good, and that is valid. But instead of doing that, I'd like us to focus on something a little bit different this morning. Because the God we serve is not new. The church, both our church and the church with a capital C, is not new. Our religion is not new. And in a time of great upheaval, like our culture, our world, quite frankly, is going through right now, we can easily forget our roots. And our roots go back to ancient times. When Caitlin and I first got here to Kansas, we actually did something that was very Caitlin-esque. For those of you who don't know, before she was a family pastor or a children's pastor back in Fresno, she was an outdoor educator. And she wanted to learn about the new biome that we were in, having not been to Kansas before. And so she asked us to go to the Flint Hills Discovery Center. And it took us about a year, year and a half to get there. But we learned some incredible things. If you haven't gone in a season where it's open, I don't know what that looks like right now, but in a season where the Flint Hills Discovery Center is open, it's open? All right, Susan says so. It is fantastic and has a lot of really interesting information. We actually learned something about the biome that we're in, about even just the Flint Hills that are down to the south. That prairie grasses that grow in the Flint Hills, they can grow up to 15 feet underground. That their roots stretch that deep. You can see on the graph there, the bottom number is 15 feet. And what we learned is that 80% of the biomass that is in the Flint Hills is underground. The roots are that deep. Everything is deeply rooted there. There is so much more going on than what we can see on the surface. And so when the wind comes blowing down the hills, when the snow comes in sideways, the grasses aren't, you know, torn off or frozen and dying. The roots that go so deep keep them where they need to be. And the Flint Hills are beautiful. Caitlin and I love the drive south through the Flint Hills as we go down to Oklahoma to visit my family. That is beautiful and gorgeous when everything is green. But that looks like new growth, but it's not growth that comes out of nowhere. It comes out of these very, very established roots. Sometimes I think we as Christians, we follow our culture and we get on board with newness. And don't hear me wrong, there are times where we need, where we want, where we have to do new things. There are absolutely new things that we're going to do. Don't hear me, you know, poo-pooing all new things, but there are times where we're going to need to do things in a different way than we've ever done before. But our roots, our foundation does not, cannot change. Because our roots are in God. And our God is not new. Our God is ancient and mysterious and wonderful. Pastors, we often say that God is doing a new thing based out of that Isaiah text. But what we're really saying is that our ancient God is doing the same thing that he's always done. It's just looking new to us. We are seeing something new or seeing it for the first time, but it's not new. It's what God has always done. It's God working to save humanity, working for the betterment of our world. That's what God has been up to, what God has been doing since human beings began on this earth. And absolutely, there were new things along the way, but it wasn't really new. It was God working at the same goal, the same thing, in a slightly different way. But God's been consistent this whole time. It's what God has done throughout the ages. And as Christians, I think it's important for us to realize that our roots go back to this ancient, for lack of a better word, plan, this ancient story of salvation that God has been weaving throughout the ages. And that might seem like a strange thing in an age like today that advantages, that looks for, that is wanting whatever the new sexy thing is. That might not seem like a plus to be rooted in something ancient. But you can't beat the ancient wisdom of God. I mean, listen to this. Do unto others what you would have them do to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn the other cheek. those beat the living snot out of hashtag, don't settle for less. That was one that Caitlin found going around the Instagram sphere. It beats those nuggets of ancient wisdom from God, beat the living snot out of whatever masquerades as wisdom around Instagram these days. Even in ancient Israel, much closer to, in the seasons where the Bible was written even, the people of Israel were reminded, constantly reminded of their roots, of what God was up to and what God was doing. There are what some people call historical psalms. Psalms come in a variety of styles, genres. Psalms are the book of Psalms. You can flip there in your Bible. We're going to be in Psalm 105, by the way. But psalms come in a variety of types. Psalms are often songs meant to be sung, the ancient hymn book of Israel. Sometimes they are prayers, things that people have prayed. Sometimes they're even poetry written to or about God. But some psalms also served the dual purpose of worshiping God, but also helping the people of Israel remember. Remember where they came from, remember what God has done, to remember their roots. So there are a couple of psalms like this, but I'm going to read out of Psalm 105. You can turn there in your Bible or your phone. I'll put the text up on the screen for you. But we're only going to be looking at a couple of sections because it's a long psalm. All of it is worthwhile reading. So if you want to pull out your Bible or it on the phone, that can be helpful. But I'm going to read from Psalm 105. I'm going to start at verse 7. He is the Lord our God. His justice is seen throughout the land. He always stands by his covenant, the commitment he made to 1,000 generations. This is the covenant he made with Abraham and the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree and to the people of Israel as a never-ending covenant. I will give you the land of Canaan as your special possession. He said this when they were few in number, a tiny group of strangers in Canaan. They wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, yet he did not let anyone oppress them. He warned kings on their behalf, do not touch my chosen people and do not hurt my prophets. That was from 7 to 15, talking about the stories we see in Genesis, how God was actively at work, working through the people mentioned there, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also working on their behalf, saving them. We're going to skip down a couple of verses to 37, verse 37 through 45. I'm going to read those as well. The Lord brought, this is skipping ahead to when they were, the people of Israel were captive in Egypt. The Lord brought his people out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold, and not one among the tribes of Israel even stumbled. Egypt was glad when they were gone, for they feared them greatly. The Lord spread a cloud above them as a covering and gave them a great fire to light the darkness. They asked for meat and he sent them quail. He satisfied their hunger with manna, bread from heaven. He split open a rock and water gushed out to form a river through the dry wasteland. For he remembered his sacred promise to his servant Abraham. So he brought his people out of Egypt with joy, his chosen ones with rejoicing. He gave his people the lands of pagan nations, and they harvested crops that others had planted. All this happened so they would follow his decrees and obey his instructions. Praise the Lord. This is not the only psalm, and it is for sure not the only time when leaders among the people of Israel called for them to remember. Remember your roots. Remember the Lord. Remember what he has done for us. And the implication there is remember all of this that happened because God is still at work. Remember what God has done because he is still at work doing things. And if you remember what he has done, remember his roots, Remember your roots in him. If you can remember that, your eyes might be open to see where he's at work in the world now. And it is easy to forget our roots in a world that is embracing everything, sometimes anything new. But we serve the same ancient God that the people of Israel were praising. Now, we might add some things to that psalm. That was the story of ancient Israel. That's not something that necessarily connects to us all. But we might add some things. We might add, praise God for when he brought us through that hard medical season. Praise God for taking care of us and helping us take care of others. Thank the Lord for when he got us through the storm, whether that is a metaphorical storm or not. But we only go halfway if we are remembering. We only go halfway if we decide we're just going to remember, we're going to remember our roots, and we're just going to remember what God has done, because God is still at work in our world. And we don't want to just go halfway. We want to be fully rooted in him and actively looking for where he is at work, so that we can be prepared for what God has for us. For us as the church to do. So in this season, I want to encourage us to take care of our roots, to make sure that we are firmly, that we are well rooted in God, that we are connected strongly to God, to each other as fellow believers. And there is an ancient practice, an ancient art, a spiritual discipline, a meditative practice that few people have mastered that can help us in this season. And that practice is that we can listen. We can listen. We cannot claim to have strong roots in God if we are not listening to what he's saying. If we don't listen to him, if we don't ask God, what are you asking of me? What are you asking of us? And I just want to say, I am asking us to do something hard in this season, because listening is not something our culture, our society, it's not something that prepares us for. Just frankly, it isn't. Our culture does not teach us to listen. It teaches us, you know, to fight, to put your boxing gloves up when you're going into a conversation, so you can determine whether or not the other person agrees with you on all things. And even more than training us to fight, our society has trained us to firmly entrench, to be convinced of what we already think and know, so that we won't change our mind mid-conversation or mid-fight with somebody else, which is just, frankly, not a great idea. It's dumb. If you encounter new information, if you see something that is convincing and you didn't know before, changing your mind is a good thing. That is positive, because it brings you to a better spot. And how much more so when we are talking about listening to the divine creator of all things. I worry sometimes that our society's lack of listening skills can bleed over into the church, that we can struggle to listen to each other and listen to God well. Because when you listen to God, when you are approaching the throne of the creator of the universe, you're going to have to change on something. I don't know what it is, but when I approach the throne, when I intentionally take time to listen, something in my life changes. Because it's God. You cannot go into an authentic encounter with the divine and come in thinking, yep, I've got everything right. I know everything perfectly. Yep, I am good. That is, you are approaching God. That's not how it works. All of us have sin to deal with. All of us have a place where God might convict us, a place where God is inviting us to join something that we join in his work that we didn't see before. When you approach God and listen, it's my conviction that you are going to find an area where you're going to be changed. But we cannot have our roots in God unless we are listening to him. And so what I'm going to ask us to do over the next few weeks is to take some time at the beginning of this year and listen to God. Listen to what God is doing. Listen to what God is saying to us. Intentionally taking that space. Now, for me, when I listen to God, I tend to be somebody who sits in silence. That's how I best listen. I try and quiet myself. Often I read a passage of scripture ahead of time, just a couple of short verses to kind of focus my mind, and then I sit and I am in silence and just listen. Trying to, you know, push away to the side all of the things that come to mind, you know, oh, I forgot, I need to go change over the laundry, and oh, I need to do this on the grocery list, I need to, oh, nope, I'm trying to pay attention to listen to God. Those distractions that come in, those are normal. But just to sit and listen to what God might be saying to me. And quite frankly, I rarely get a full answer or something that is completely clear to me. But those moments of listening to God, to making sure that my life is rooted in him, those have been some of the best moments of my life. And so I am going to challenge you, church, to join me. To join me in being rooted in God, to intentionally paying attention to our roots in this season at the beginning of the year. So my challenge to you is to set aside some time. I'm gonna ask that you set aside 30 minutes a week, just 30 minutes. And for some of us that may seem, oh great, I can do that. And for some of us that may seem overwhelming. I understand. But setting aside 30 minutes every week to just sit and listen to what God is saying, to what God is doing. I'm going to challenge you to do this from 7 to 7:30 on Tuesdays. It's a consistent time that many of us might be able to join together. I get that that does not work for everyone. We live enough varied lives that I don't know when I could schedule a time that we could all pray together. But if that doesn't work for you, choose another time. But for those of us that can, just take some time, 7 to 7:30 on Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday evenings, and sit, listen, and pray. For Caitlin and I, we're going to be in our house in the living room. She'll be on the couch. I'll be on my chair. And we'll probably open it with some scripture. We'll sit, listen. We usually pray at the end of the time and listen to a song together, and then we have a conversation about what if anything we heard or what God seems to be saying or convicting us to do, what we sensed from God. But I'm going to invite you into that. Take some time at the beginning of this year to fortify your roots, to make sure you are grounded fully in God so that you are not blown away by whatever comes. Challenge is to take 30 minutes a week. 6 weeks we're going to go till, we're going to do this through to Lent, which is February 16 or 17, I think, is Ash Wednesday. That's 6 weeks. That's 3 hours of spending time listening to God over a month and a half. You can do that. And I think what you're going to find is you are going to remain well-rooted in God, that you are going to encounter him. And I think you're going to find your life is going to change for the better. So let's pray together. I'm going to just spend 30 seconds of silence, and we're going to listen here. We'll do what we've been talking about. We're going to stay in silence for 30 seconds, and then we will pray and ask God to give us good listening ears. God, even in that 30 seconds, we pray that we listened to you. As we embark on this new year, as we go ahead into whatever challenges, whatever opportunities, whatever is coming in this new year of 2021, that you would help us be firmly rooted in you, and that we would listen to you so that we can know where you are working in our world, and we can know where you want us to work as well. God, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears to listen to you. We pray against distractions. We pray against anything that would take our attention, our focus away from you. God, help us listen to you well. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. May we be rooted in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May you find yourself fully rooted in God this week so that you can listen well to him and you can see what he is doing in your life and in our world. Blessings to you, church family. Go in peace.